Now, Salima Malzahn will do our reading and the rest of the program. Salima has been a member here for many years and has done poetry for us before. So, welcome, Salima.
Selected reading this morning is a poem by Martin Espada called The Republic of Poetry, written for Chile. In the Republic of Poetry, a train full of poets rolls south in the rain as plum trees rock and horses kick the air and village bands parade down the aisle with trumpets, with bowler hats, followed by the president of the republic, shaking every hand. In the Republic of Poetry, monks print verses about the night on boxes of monastery chocolate. Kitchens in restaurants use odes for recipes, from eel to artichoke, and poets eat free. In the Republic of Poetry, poets read to the baboons at the zoo, and all the primates, poets and baboons alike, scream for joy. In the Republic of Poetry, poets rent a helicopter to bombard the National Palace with poems on bookmarks, and everyone in the courtyard rushes to grab a poem fluttering from the sky, blinded by weeping. In the Republic of Poetry, the guard at the airport will not allow you to leave the country until you declaim a poem for her, and she says, "Ah, beautiful." As Rosie said, I have stood up here and shared poetry with you on several occasions in the 17 years I've been here. We have an intense morning today. We have a mix, as you see, we have a wonderful mix of music and words and silence. And we're going to have more of that. So I invite you to let yourself sink in to being here. A funny thing happens when I get ready to do something like this. I think about what I want to say and what I want to do, and I start gathering material. And then some kind of hell breaks loose, like it did this weekend. And so I look around for other things, and I say, no, we won't do that, but we'll do this. I want to share something that Brian Doyle said when he was on the Oregon Art Beat a while ago. He said, "We are only here for a minute. We are here for a little window. And to use that time to catch and share shards of light and laughter and grace seems to me the great story. And I love that work. And I love that work too." So this morning I'm asking that we give ourselves over to it. Brian was a teacher. One of the things he said was that he was blessed to having made a bit of difference in kids' lives. Diane Ackerman wrote a poem called School Prayer. I'd like to offer it this morning. In the name of the daybreak and the eyelids of morning and the wayfaring moon and the night when it departs, I swear I will not dishonor my soul with hatred, but offer myself humbly as a guardian of nature, as a healer of misery, as a messenger of wonder, as an architect of peace. In the name of the sun and its mirrors and the day that embraces it and the cloud veils drawn over it and the uttermost night and the male and the female and the plants bursting with seed and the crowning seasons of the firefly and the apple. I will honor all life wherever and in whatever form it may dwell on earth, my home, and in the mansions of the stars. Would that we could return to a school prayer like that. This is a poem by William Stafford called Tragedy. It happens. You knew it could. No one ever said it wouldn't. And now it has. The world just goes on. The air moves. Trees keep on standing there and maybe grieve a little. The sun stays steady. All of this can't stop for a person, no matter who. And the whole world has to rock now and then, but that's all. So people come by to talk and help if they can. They shake their heads helpfully. You'll get over it, they say. And maybe after years, you do. Or at least some of the time when it's quiet. Or during music, you almost do. So we think about poets, the Republic of Poetry, and how it all sounds so lovely. It all sounds so lovely in the midst of all the ugliness and the hatred and the bombings, because they are there too. And we don't want to pretend they're not. But poets have a way of saying things, of examining things, of looking at the way things are, and saying words that usually cannot be said. Adam Zakajewski is a grand Polish poet, and there are many of those who have addressed really, really hard things. This is one of my favorites by Adam Zakajewski called Try to Praise the Mutilated World. Try to praise the mutilated world. Remember June's long days and wild strawberries, drops of rosé wine. The nettles that methodically overgrow that abandoned homesteads of exiles. You must praise the mutilated world. You watched the stylish yachts and ships. One of them had a long trip ahead of it, while salty oblivion awaited others. You've seen the refugees going nowhere. You've heard the executioners sing joyfully. You should praise the mutilated world. Remember those moments when we were together in a white room and the curtain fluttered. Return in thought to the concert where music flared. You gathered acorns in the park in autumn, and leaves eddied over the earth's scars. Praise the mutilated world and the gray feather a thrush lost, and the gentle light that strays and vanishes and returns. This poem got a lot of coverage in September of 2001, when we were faced with our first major crisis. And Martin Espada, who was in New York and has done a lot of work in this country, I encourage you to look him up. You'll be amazed. He wrote a poem called Alabanza, in praise of Local 100. for the 43 members of hotel employees and restaurant employees, Local 100, working at the Windows on the World restaurant, who lost their lives in the attack on the World Trade Center. Alabanza. Praise the cook with a shaven head and a tattoo on his shoulder that said, oi. A blue-eyed Puerto Rican with people from Fajardo, the harbor of pirates centuries ago. Praise the lighthouse in Fajardo, candle glimmering white to worship the dark saint of the sea. Alabanza, praise the cook's yellow pirate's cap worn in the name of Roberto Clemente, his plane that flamed into the ocean loaded with cans for Nicaragua. For all the mouths is chewing the ash of earthquakes. Alabanza, praise the kitchen radio, dial clicked even before the dial on the oven, so that music and Spanish rose before bread. Praise the bread. Alabanza, praise Manhattan from 107 flights up, like Atlantis glimpsed through the windows of an ancient aquarium. Praise the great windows where immigrants from the kitchen could squint and almost see their world. Hear the chant of nations, Ecuador, Mexico, República Dominicana, Haiti, Yemen, Ghana, Bangladesh. Alabanza. Praise the kitchen in the morning where the gas burned blue on every stove and exhaust fans fired their diminutive propellers. Hands cracked eggs with quick thumbs or sliced open cartons to build an altar of cans. Alabanza. Praise the busboy's music, the chime of his dishes and silverware in the tub. Alabanza. Praise the dish dog, the dishwasher, who worked that morning because another dishwasher could not stop coughing, or because he needed overtime to pile the sacks of rice and beans for a family floating away on some Caribbean island plagued by frogs. Alabanza. Praise the waitress who heard the radio in the kitchen and sang to herself about a man gone. Alabanza. After the thunder wilder than thunder, after the shudder deep in the glass of the great windows, after the radio stopped singing like a tree full of terrified frogs, after night burst the dam of day and flooded the kitchen for a time, the stoves glowed in the darkness like the lighthouse in Farado, like a cook's soul. Soul, I say, even if the dead cannot tell us about the bristles of God's beard, because God has no face. Soul, I say, to name the smoke beings flung in constellations across the night sky of this city and cities to come. Alabanza, I say, even if God has no face. Alabanza, when the war began from Manhattan and Kabul, two constellations of smoke rose and drifted to each other, mingling in icy air. And one said with an Afghan tongue, teach me to dance. We have no music here. And the other said, with a Spanish tongue, I will teach you. Music is all we have. One of my favorite poets is Naomi Shihab Nye. Many of you are familiar with her work. She speaks out. Unafraid, Palestinian-American poet, very, very sweet. She plays the guitar and the ukulele. This is called Gate 4A, and it is a prose poem that speaks to what could be. But this is Gate 4A. Sometimes I have trouble getting through this poem. I will do my best. Wandering around the Albuquerque airport terminal after learning that my flight had been detained 4 hours, I heard an announcement. If anyone in the vicinity of Gate 4A understands any Arabic, please come to the gate immediately. Well, one pauses these days. Gate 4A was my own gate. I went there. An older woman in full traditional Palestinian embroidered dress, just like my grandma wore, was crumbled to the floor, wailing loudly. "Help," said the flight service person. "Talk to her. What is her problem? We told her the flight was going to be late, and she did this." I stooped to put my arm around the woman and spoke to her haltingly. "Shudawa, shubid tuk habibiti, stanishwe min fadlik, shubitsi we." The minute she heard any words she knew, however poorly used, she stopped crying. She thought our flight had been canceled entirely. She needed to be in El Paso for major medical treatment the next day. And I said, no, we're fine. You'll get there just late. Who is picking you up? Let's call him." We called her son, and I spoke with him in English. I told him I would stay with his mother till we got on the plane and would ride next to her, Southwest. She talked to him. Then we called her other sons just for fun. And then we called my dad. And he and she spoke for a while in Arabic and found out, of course, that they had 10 shared friends. Then I thought, just for the heck of it, why not call some Palestinian poets that I knew, and I let them chat with her. This all took up about 2 hours. She was laughing a lot by then, telling about her life, patting my knee, answering questions. She had pulled a sack of homemade mamoul cookies, those little powdered sugar crumbly mounds stuffed with dates and nuts, out of her bag, and was offering them to all the women at the gate. To my amazement, not a single woman declined. It was like a sacrament. The traveler from Argentina, the mom from California, the lovely woman from Laredo, we were all covered with that same powdered sugar. And smiling, there is no better cookie. And then the airline broke out the free beverages from huge coolers, and two little girls from our flight ran around serving us all apple juice, and they were covered with powdered sugar too. And I noticed my new best friend, by now we were holding hands, had a potted plant poking out of her bag, some medicinal thing with green furry leaves. Such an old country traveling tradition. Always carry a plant. Always stay rooted to somewhere. And I looked around. I looked around the gate of late and weary ones, and I thought, this is the world I want to live in. The shared world. Not a single person in this gate, once the crying of confusion stopped, seemed apprehensive about any other person there. They took the cookies. I wanted to hug all those other women too. This can still happen anywhere. Not everything is lost. So, then the question comes up, how do we live in this world? Fortunately, Walt Whitman gave us very specific directions. He said, "This is what you shall do. Love the earth and the sky and the animals. Despise riches, give alms to everyone that asks. Stand up for the stupid and the crazy. Devote your income and labor to others. Hate tyrants. Argue not concerning God. Have patience and indulgence toward the people. Take off your hat to nothing known or unknown, or to any man or number of men. Go freely with powerful, uneducated persons, and with the young, and with the mothers of families. Read these leaves in the open air every season of every year of your life. Re-examine all you have been told at school or church or in any book. Dismiss whatever insults your own soul, and your very flesh shall be a great poem and have the richest fluency, not only in its words, but in the silent lines of its lips and face and between the lashes of your eyes and in every motion and joint of your body. Thank you, Walt Whitman. But those directions don't always hold up, do they? Unfortunately, we are prone from time to time to slip into despair, to depression, at minimum, to sadness. Wendell Berry has something to say about that. This is called The Peace of Wild Things. When despair grows in me and I wake in the middle of the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water, and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Let's throw this one in for good measure. Mary Oliver. The summer day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I've been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last? And too soon. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? And that is the question. How do we serve? There are those who say, life is service. I tend to agree. Gabriela Mistral, very fine poet. I hope you're jotting the names of these poets down because you may want to look them up. You may want to read more of what they have to say. This is called The Pleasure of Serving. All of nature is yearning for service. The cloud serves, and the wind, and the furrow. Where there is a tree to plant, you be the one. Where there is a mistake to undo, let it be you. You be the one to remove that rock from the field, the hate from human hearts, and the difficulties from the problem. There is joy in being wise and just, but above all, there is the beautiful, the immense happiness of serving. How sad the world would be if all was already done. If there was no rosebush to plant, no enterprise to undertake. Do not limit yourself to easy tasks. It is so beautiful to do what others dodge. But don't fall prey to the error that only great tasks done can be counted as accomplishments. There are small acts of service that are good ones. Decoratively setting a table, putting some books in order, combing a little girl's hair. That one over there is the one that criticizes. The other one is the one that destroys. You be the one that serves. Serving is not a labor just for inferior beings. God, who gives fruit and light, serves. His name could be rendered thus, He who serves. And He has eyes on our hands, and He asks us at the close of the day, did you render service today? To whom? To a tree? To your friend? To your mother? Marge Piercy is also fond of service. This is her poem, To Be of Use. The people I love the best jump into the work head first without dallying in the shallows and swim off with sure strokes almost out of sight. They seem to become natives of that element, the black sleek heads of seals bouncing like half-submerged balls. I love people who harness themselves, an ox to a heavy cart, who pull like water buffalo with massive patience, who strain in the mud and the muck to move things forward, who do what has to be done again and again. I want to be with people who submerge in the task, who go into the fields to harvest and work in a row and pass the bags along, who are not parlor generals and field deserters, but move in a common rhythm when the food must come in or the fire must be put out. The work of the world is common as mud. Botched, it smears the hands, crumbles the dust. But the thing worth doing well has a shape that satisfies, clean and evident. Greek amphoras for wine or oil, Hopi vases that held corn, they're put in museums. But you know they were made to be used. The pitcher cries for water to carry, and a person for work that is real. Just in case you think that we've harnessed ourselves to too much heaviness this morning, let's take a listen to Ellen Bass. Ellen Bass is a modern American poet. She has these words for us in a poem titled, Relax. Bad things are going to happen. Your tomatoes will grow a fungus and your cat will get run over. Someone will leave the bag with the ice cream melting in the car and throw your blue cashmere sweater in the dryer. Your husband will sleep with a girl your daughter's age, her breasts spilling out of her blouse. Or your wife will remember that she's a lesbian and leave you for the woman next door. The other cat, the one you never really liked, will contract a disease that requires you to pry open its feverish mouth every 4 hours for a full month. Your parents will die. No matter how many vitamins you take, how much Pilates, you lose your keys, your hair, and your memory. If your daughter doesn't plug her heart into every live socket she passes, you'll come home to find your son has emptied your refrigerator, dragged it to the curb, and called the used appliance store for a pickup. Drug money.
There's a Buddhist story of a woman chased by a tiger. When she comes to a cliff, she sees a sturdy vine and climbs halfway down. But there's also a tiger below and two mice, one white, one black. They scurry and they begin to claw and to gnaw at the vine. At this point, she notices a wild strawberry growing from a crevice. She looks up and down at the mice. Then she eats the strawberry. So here's the view, the breeze, the pulse in your throat. Your wallet will be stolen. You'll get fat. Slip on the bathroom tiles of a foreign hotel and crack your hip. You'll be lonely. But oh, taste how sweet and tart the red juice is. How the tiny seeds crunch between your teeth.
Lovely. Thank you, Salima, for your talk today.